hallelujah. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? What a privilege it is once again to be in the house of God. So good to see each and every one of you. We're trusting the Lord's going to meet with us in a wonderful way here today. It's almost like camp meeting every service. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. That's the way we want to keep it too, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, grin at them real big, tell them you're glad to see them in church. Play a little bit more of that, brethren. Grin at somebody. God bless you. Let me make this announcement to you this morning. Real quickly, Sister Maria Sponsia. She's able to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Sister Maria, where are you at this morning? Raise your hand so we can see you. Where is she at? Right back here. God bless you. We're certainly glad the Lord has let you be able to be back in the service with us. Let's look at our prayer request this morning, if you will. Brother Dan Robbins has had an infection show up in his arm, I believe it was, in his arm on Thursday evening. The doctor tried to draw fluid off of it on Friday and started antibiotics. Yesterday it continued to get worse, and they gave him some more antibiotics. It continued to get worse overnight. He's headed back to the doctor this morning. Please pray that they can stop this infection from spreading in his body. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Dan Robbins this morning that the Lord would be mindful of him. We want to pray for Sister Susan Olive. She has an earache, unable to be in the service today. Sister Lydia Baker says, I want to thank the Lord for his healing power. I feel so much better. Thank you for praying for me. So praise the Lord for that. I want to pray for Justin White's grandmother, Sarah Berriman. She has been sick for the last few days, needs a healing touch, so let's pray for her this morning. Brother Gary sends us in for Sister Lona. She is in a lot of pain with her back this morning. We want to remember her in prayer. The sister requests prayer that the church would pray for her about physical and spiritual needs that she has, so let's remember that. I want to please pray for Brother Bob King that he can find his hearing aid. He's misplaced it, so let's pray that the Lord would just let Brother Bob be able to find that. Brother Derek Butt sends this in to please pray for my nephew. He is 20 years old and not a Christian. His mom called a little while ago, and she thinks he's had a nervous breakdown. He is suicidal, has a drug addiction, and they're taking him to the hospital by ambulance. So we certainly want to remember that prayer request this morning. Also, they have a small pet that they'd like for us to pray that the Lord would touch it. Please pray for Annalisa Smith. She's having surgery on her eye on Monday morning. She has a blocked tear duct, so let's remember that need as we pray. Brother Ernie Villanueva says to please pray for his mother, Dolores, who has had a stroke. I'm believing that God will raise her up to a perfect health. Please remember her when you speak to the Lord in prayer. Thank you from the depths of my heart. So let's remember that prayer request this morning. An update on Sister Boone. She's still in the hospital. She has a type A flu, which is not covered by the flu shot. So please, no visitors at this time. They're asking that we would honor that. So let's just pray for her. She's she's a staple in this church. I thank the world of Sister Boone. Please pray for Bobby and Sherry Hayton. They're both homesick with bronchitis and need a touch from the Lord. Continue to remember Sister Lisa Cutts in prayer. She's still sick, needs a healing touch from the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Alan Bean. He's homesick with flu-like symptoms, so let's pray for that need. Also, Brother Tracy has may have a strap. Says it is probably not wise for visitors at this time, so we certainly want to remember that need. And if you would, remember our little grandson, Drew. He's got just a real severe case of bronchitis, real bad cough. Pray for that child. And well, there's just a lot of flu and bronchitis, different things going around. We just pray that the Lord would be mindful of all of our situations. We have an unspoken prayer request this morning by the raising of your hand. Brother Daniel, if you'll come at this time, we'll invite the presence of the Lord into this service. Let's take these needs before our King. We know that we're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you believe that with all your heart this morning? Do you believe He's the greatest thing that ever touched your life? Give Him a big hand clap of praise one more time.
Love you, buddy. Appreciate you. Amen. You know, God's good to us, isn't He? I came across something, Brother Reed. I have time to read. Just won't take but a minute. But it was an article. I don't know if anybody ever heard of H.A. Onside. He was kind of like the Billy Graham of his day. He said he went into a restaurant, and as he was sitting at the table, it was real crowded, and a man wanted to sit down by him. And he said, as his custom, Onside bowed his head in prayer over his food, and when he opened his eyes, the other man said, "Do you have a headache?" Onside replied, "No." He said, "Well, is there something wrong with your food? He said, "No, I was simply thanking God as I always do before I eat." The man said, "Oh, you are one of those, are you? Well, I want you to know I never give thanks. I earn my money by the sweat of my brow. And I don't have to give thanks to anybody when I eat." He says, "I just start eating." Onside says, "Yes, just like my dog. That's what he does." Amen. Amen. You know, in all things, we need to give thanks to God. Amen. Let's pray over these needs this morning. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to be in your house. Knowing, God, that we could be in a hospital, or God, we could be somewhere else other than this place. But God, we are so thankful for your words going forth from this place. God, we thank you for these people, for what they mean to us. Thank you for this day, Lord Jesus. Now, God, as we are into this service today, we bring our petitions, our requests before your throne. God, thou art the healer of all our diseases, all of our sicknesses, whatever we have need of today, God. You said by faith, Lord, that you make it to go away or come to pass. May our faith, God, bring together here today. Lord God, may the people be touched and healed and saved and delivered. God, the family in Ohio, Lord, they lost a loved one. We pray, God, that you'll be with that family, Brother Jenkins' family. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this service today. God, that you move upon my pastor. Lord, that you'll bless them, Jesus. Help us, oh God, that we receive what you have for us to receive. God, we commit this service unto your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother Daniel, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're a visitor here today, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Those that are streaming, may God richly bless those folks as well. I believe Sister Anna and Sister Cinda, do they have any more of their... It'll be Wednesday before they have their CD available. So I know that's something you're looking forward to. A lot of work went into it. I believe it's going to be a blessing to all of you. So we'll look for that on Wednesday night. Is that right? They had some last night. And it sold out. Well, how about that? So that's a good thing. So we'll have some more of those on Wednesday. Let's sing a song this morning. I don't know that we've tried this in a long, long time, if ever. But it's a good song. You're going to enjoy hearing him sing it. But he could have called 10,000 angels. But aren't you glad that he chose to take the road that he took? for you and for me, He paid the ultimate price. Now the price we give Him back is a life that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you really want a life that's worthy of the gospel? With all your heart, I want a life that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set Him free. holy. Amen. Let's sing this chorus together this morning. For He is holy. The holy God chose to take the road that He took for ungodly people, for sinners, for people that had no hope. But He had the hope that we have today, and He placed it in us. Aren't you glad you have hope? Look at somebody and say, we have hope. We have assurance. We have blessed assurance. For He is. Sing it with all your heart now. Holy, holy is our Lord. Yes, He's Lord. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sing with everything you got this morning. For He is holy. Oh, sing it to Him.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Seated this morning. We're going to have a couple of songs for the gold. God bless you. Good to see you in the service with us today. Certainly glad you're home. You're not visiting, you're back home, right? Praise the Lord. Certainly glad to have Brother Gold back home with us in the service this morning. Brother Brandon Green, if you'd come and get ready to give us a song this morning. Then Brother Harry's going to give us a song after Brother Brandon sings, and we'll go right on into the service this morning. Give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing for us.
Just like to say, I thank the Lord for my family.
Praise the Lord.
You know, we moved here and we didn't really know anybody, but I knew that in the spirit that this was my family. And so I'm thankful for it. I never want to take that for granted. I'm a man, flesh and blood, of just one thing I'm sure. I was made from the dust, and to dust I will return. But the dust ain't the end, cause in my heart I know I'm spirit, and so to the Father's home I'll go. Be assured, if you trusted in the Lord, all who call on His name are going to live forevermore. Oh, I know, cause the Spirit lives in me. The Spirit of the Son says the Son I'll ever be. Well, I can be assured that my home is up on high, cause I found it in the Word of the One who never lies. Be assured, if you trusted in the Lord, all who call on His name are gonna live forevermore. If you live in the darkness and the fear, there is love, only love, He will wash away the tears. Pouring love into you, the Spirit of the Son will flow through you into everyone. Be assured, if you trusted in the Lord, all who call on His name are going to live forevermore. Yes, be assured, if you trusted in the Lord, all who call on His name are going to live forevermore. Oh, I know, cause the Spirit lives in me. The Spirit of the Son says the Son I'll ever be. Well, I can be assured that my home is up on high, cause I found it in the Word of the One who never lies. Be assured, if you trusted in the Lord, all who call on His name are going to live forevermore. Yes, be assured, if you trusted in the Lord, all who call on His name are going to live forevermore. If you live in the darkness and the fear, there is love, only love, He will wash away the tears. Pouring love into you, the Spirit of the Son will flow through you into everyone. Well, be assured, if you're trusting in the Lord, all who call on His name are going to live forevermore. Yes, be assured, if you're trusting in the Lord, all who call on His name are going to live
forevermore. Follow Smart Aleck. I'm just kidding. I love Brother Brandon. Back probably 2 years ago, the Lord gave me a little song. It's been that long since I sang it. I sung it one time, I think, but it's in D, brothers. After what Brother Donnie's preached, you know, I believe we're getting close. We're near the capstone. Somebody's going to live what we're hearing. Open up the pages of Your Word, and I hear the preacher preach. a sermon. I want to become what I've heard. In front of me I see Christ's living image. That's what I'm walking toward. Your desire for my life is to have the life of Christ live in me. Not my life and yours, but yours and yours alone. Father, let your kingdom come. I will let your will be done. Lord, you're calling me to a higher place, to walk with you each and every day. If I pray and read my Bible, you will keep me in revival and lead me into a body change. Your desire for my life is to have the life of Christ live in me. Yours and yours alone. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. I will let your will be done. Your desire is to have the life of Christ live in me. Not my life and yours, but yours and yours alone. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. I will let your will be done.
Beautiful. I don't remember hearing that before. Did y'all hear that before? I must not have been here when he sung it. Amen. Don't you appreciate when the Lord gives words and they inspire and they carry a message? Hallelujah. Let's turn today to the book of Philippians chapter 4, if you would. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. I want to speak to you today on the power of thought. The power of thought. Rejoice in the Lord whenever you're feeling good. When all things are going well. Now, how many of us do this? So we all need help from the first portion of this verse. Wow. If I didn't know better, I'd think this place was a hospital for sick folks. And folks that are crippled and folks that needs all kinds of help. But there's one thing I know about this place. It's not an old folks retirement home. Okay? I'm not preaching you all a message for a retirement center. We're going to get out of this place. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, if once wasn't enough, he's going to come back and burn us again. Again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Notice now, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. And the word here keep means protect by a military guard. To keep with a garrison. So the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep with a military guard or with a garrison your hearts and minds. Now let me ask you something. If we didn't need a garrison, why would he send one? If all you needed was one guy marching out there with a gun back and forth in front of your heart, in front of your mind, why waste all the rest of the soldiers? But if God sent me a garrison for my heart and my mind, I guarantee you I need it. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's pray together. Truly, Lord Jesus, we are just blessed to be able to read this word and know it's the truth. But somehow, Father, I want to be further blessed. I know that it's truth, and I believe it's true, but I want to have it. I want to have it in its fullness. I want it to be living in me in a more persuasive way, that I can be able to convince others by its positive effect on my life that they too will want it as their own. Lord, may you take your word today and speak to us. We stand here as a people with many needs in our lives and many desires. I pray that you would help us today, that we can find ourselves in the pages of the Word of God, that no matter what we're facing and what we're dealing with, we can have confidence in you to know that you are mindful of us today. Speak to us, Heavenly Father, we ask in Jesus' name. And the saint said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated today, friends. As we started out the service last night, the one thought that I would like to remind you of today is that there are two great forces in the world that we live, and both of them are endeavoring to control our mind. Even though our soul would be sealed by the Holy Ghost for those who are truly born again, and your soul would belong to God, sealed unto the day of your redemption, Satan can never get it. He can never even touch it. He can never even affect it from that day on. But he is sensible enough, and he knows his position well enough to know that even though your soul would be sealed, your mind isn't. So your mind is still a very great part of you, which is accessible by Satan. So evil thoughts, demons, all kinds of wrongdoing can be able to penetrate your mind. So when you look at that, then it makes it so much easier to understand why that every day of our life, absolutely every day of our life, that we're under a constant onslaught to be able to control our minds. So it's in the books that we read, it's in the social media, it's on your phone, it's in movies, it's in the music that you listen to, it's everywhere we go. Now to many people, it's in a subliminal way that Satan is trying to affect them. They don't even know. They don't understand that when they go to an auto parts store, to Walmart, wherever it is, and the rock and roll is going in the background, they have no idea that that is reaching out to prepare them for Armageddon. Now you and I do. The reason we know that is because we have influence from a superior mind who has let us in on this secret. Now, if it was not for that, we wouldn't know it either. We'd be standing there singing them songs and think, wow, this something. I remember not too many years ago when I came to this church. It was eat up with rock and roll and country music. And many of you folks listen to it in your car and listen to it in your home. And yet coming right here to church and feeling like you was all right with God. You know what happened? You needed your mind changed. You needed something to be able to intervene and help you to see. You can't listen to that and be in harmony with God of where you need to be at the same time. You can't. It's impossible. But Satan knows that the mind, even though the mind has been funneled in a direction by which the Spirit of God can now deal with that mind. And keep in mind when we're talking about the mind of Christ and the mind of a human being, that the mind of Christ, really all it is the supernatural element that comes into you by the new birth, which gives you the ability and the potential to receive from God the fullness of His Word. Then you're left with a human mind. It's not actually your brain, but it's an ability to be able to understand. And it's part of the intellect, it's part of the spirit, culminated together in order to make you a complete human being. But we know we do not actually think with our brain. We think with our spirit. So a person could be out of their mind and be nothing wrong with their brain. They could be out of their mind and yet they could do a brain scan. They could do all kinds of things in the brain. And the doctor said, we can't find nothing wrong. Why? Because their spirit is roaming. So it's more than their brain. Your mind is more than your brain. It's something that you get from your makeup. Now, once we become converted, then there's an element of us that is still left, the unconverted part, the unregenerate part. That is the part that Satan still has a claim on. It is there that he sows the enmity that he started out in Genesis 3. The enmity that was sown in the beginning started out in a seed form in a man. For Cain was a man. But as the enmity grown and progressed down through the ages, it is not that we would look around today and try to find a natural, literal serpent seed. That it would be a certain race of people on a certain continent and there they would still be. It's not that way today. But we know that the enmity has grown from a particular seed or a particular race until now all human beings are plagued with this enmity and the enmity is a carnal mind. Now the enmity, as Paul talks about in the book of Romans, that to be carnal minded is enmity against God. So here's the very thing that started out in the book of Genesis in seed form, but now it's not in a race and a certain color of people, but it's in every human being. So whether you're black, white, red, yellow, African, Indonesian, whatever you are, every person now is contaminated with this enmity which is in their mind. Even after you're born again, the Spirit of God does not eliminate the enmity which is still left in the human being. So it sets to two seed lines, both Cain and Abel are warring, are struggling within you and I every day. It's Jacob, it's Esau, it's the whole thing again. So in that, then we have the ability by the new birth to be able to perceive, to understand, to receive divine projections from God, which gives us the ability to know that He's real and to be able to look beyond our senses and believe something that science cannot declare. I read an article this week where 3/5 of the scientists around the world do not believe there is a God. They believe that science, as the progression of sciences go on, all their scientific proofs and this and the other proofs are that a shadow of a doubt. There is no God and it's mere foolishness to believe in deity. Well, I turned that right back around when I read it and I said, every one of you is fools. Because a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But my faith will declare what their test tube won't declare. If you can just look at nature, I don't know how in the world you can't believe that there's a God. If you just look at how it all correlates and how it all works together and then believe that somewhere out of a big bang, it just happened. Oh, no, it wasn't a big bang. It's my father had a bang. That's what it was. He had a bang out of doing all this. Yes, sir. You imagine. Now, here we look at it then. No wonder they'll never be able to understand because a carnal mind is enmity against God. The more educated the carnal mind gets, the farther away it gets from God. I always knew there's a blessing in being a dummy. You know, you understand that even that in the sense of the word, the more theology you know, the more intellect you know, the more religious you know, sometimes the harder it is to simply believe God. Because Satan will take all you know about the word and he'll wear you out with it. That's exactly right. So in that, there is a great power just in the power of thought. without being a Christian, just being a human being, there is a great power that can be released in the power of thought. Now, of course, that power was given to us as we, even though we fell from the projected image of the mind of God, still we maintained an element of that imagery of God even after the fall was there. This is why Brother Bim said a man could take and concentrate on a glass and concentrate hard enough and long enough and actually cause that glass to explode. So it would be the power of the mind and the power of concentration. But in that, it also works in a religious way, that the power of the mind can be able to endue you with great, wonderful things, or the power of your own mind has the ability to deceive you into a state that you are totally convinced you are right with God, and your mind is the one who has deceived you. Not the devil, but your own mind itself. Now let's read a few scriptures if you don't mind. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. What's Jesus? He says, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Now look at the power of thought. Here there will be many, many people in the last day who are not thinking in the cycle of the coming of the Lord. Now, because they're not thinking in that cycle, their thought process will delay their preparation for the rapture. Now, notice how he links their thinking to the readiness of the coming of the Lord. You see, if Satan can be able to convince you, well, it's not in your lifetime. People have said this for thousands of years. You'll probably live to be an old man. It'll never be in your generation. Well, what is that? The power of thought. So, depending on how you relate to the coming of the Lord will relate in your life, in your readiness for that coming. So, if you think, well, it's probably not going to be in 5 years or 6 months, or maybe it might even be in 10 years or 20 years or 100 years. So, through the power of that thought, it will put you into a lull. It will actually put you in a spiritual paralysis that you're saying, well, probably not in my generation. What are you doing? You are subjecting then your life, your behavior, your conduct, your character to the power of a thought. So Jesus, notice how he says it, therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man coming. So those who are not thinking in the cycle of the coming of the Lord, they cannot be ready. So we are prepared by the right thoughts, or we are delayed preparation by the wrong thoughts. Amen. Very simple, isn't it? But yet powerful. St. John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now Jesus was being questioned now by the religious people of that day. And he told them that you better search the scriptures, for ye think that in the volume of the scriptures is where you have eternal life, and yet the scriptures is what's testifying of me. So you think that by your stand in the Word that you have eternal life, and yet you're denying the very Word made flesh in your day, you better rethink your position. But now they were thinking because they were Jews, they were Pharisees, they were Sadducees, whatever more. So the power of thought had so pulled them into this great thing that just because they were in the message, as we'd say, just because they followed the prophet of God, Moses, just because they'd been circumcised, they kept all the feasts and all the orders and this and that and the other. And in the power of thought they were ready. But they were not. And yet the power have thought I deceive them. Oh my. St. John 16:2. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. So where do they get this thought? That they would actually kill people, and they did many, many thousands and thousands, millions of them, down through the ages, that they killed the people of God, and they thought they were actually doing God a service. Look at the power of thought. So then all that's necessary is for a strong one to be able to project a thought into those who are of weaker perception. People always look for a leader. Now, whenever the stronger one is able to project to them a certain thought, whether it's true or not, it doesn't really matter, as long as they believe it's true. And then they project that thought to them of such magnetism and such an ability that those hear that thought, and then they take that thought and they actually become that thought, and they acted out into action. Then they would be able to kill people and actually think, God wants me to do this. You imagine in the Inquisitions down through time, whether it was the Catholic Church, whether it was in the Spanish Inquisition, of all the Inquisitions that have been of the people of God, they actually thought they were doing God a service by heating up pokers of hot iron and poking in the eyes of our brothers and sisters until they burn them out. They would take and strip the flesh off of their bodies. They gave them no anesthesia. They would take hot irons. They would punish them in every way possible. And no doubt they would get done from their day's work with the smell of burning flesh all over them. The saints of God blood splattered all over them. And they would walk out from there and think, I've done a glory unto God today. Because they thought. Thoughts are powerful, aren't they? Romans chapter 12 verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your... What's a man got to do with being transformed? So you mean actually my stage of transformation will bring the mind into play as well? You mean even though my soul has been changed, my mind must fall asleep in order to be completely transformed? That's what the Bible says. That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For notice this. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, soberly, which is to exercise self-control. Why? Why should not I as a minister, or you as an individual, think more highly of yourself than what has been divinely allocated to me by the presence of God? What harm can that do? It can destroy me. It can destroy you. Now for you to look at yourself and think of yourself above the divine measure that God has given to you will lead to your utter destruction. Oh my, you folks are quiet on me today. The power of thought. Nobody else thinks that. Maybe nobody else in your family. Nobody in the church. That's not what it takes. All it takes is you. To think that of yourself. I'm more spiritual. I'm this. I'm that. I'm that. I'm that. I'm that. And when you're doing that, you're going down a road of self-annihilation. Through the power of what? Thought. Notice this. He says, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Again, he says in 1 Corinthians 4:6, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think. Now he brings it over on the people. Not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. So now it comes from the individual, that the ministry now he's referring to, that the people should not puff up the ministry one above another. The power of thought. Galatians chapter 6 verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something. Now look at the power of thought. A man can actually begin to think about himself to such a degree that he transcends in his mind what he is in fact and reality and moves into a world that does not exist. So a man begins to think himself. Notice how Paul said, you talk about powerful words, friend. A man begins to think himself. He actually projects himself into this non-existent world by his own mind, by the power of thought. It'd probably scare us to death if we knew how many folks in the message are right here in this verse of scripture. They think they are so spiritual. They think they're so elevated. They think this and that and the other about themselves. And they think themselves nothing, something, when in reality they are nothing. And how do they do it? Through the power of thought. And they'll sit right in your sermon like today, trying to bring them down to that spot. It'll go in this ear and out the other, nor vice versa. They'll get up and walk out because they have transcended themselves. They have transcended fact. They have transcended reality. And they have created by the power of thought a world which is non-existent. And they live in that world by themselves. No one else is there with them because no one else has that view of them. But they do. I kind of had a feeling this morning when the Lord gave me this, y'all to be looking at me this way today. I done thought I knew which way I was going to go today, but the Lord wouldn't let me sleep very good last night. So about 3:30 this morning, something like that, this stuff kind of started coming together. Whenever I finally got up, I started putting it all down. And I don't mind telling you, I was absolutely overwhelmed and I began to see it. I hope it overwhelmed you with me. For if a man think himself to be something when he is... And the word nothing is no more than anyone else. Now we know all the redeemed are something. So Paul ain't talking about that you're not redeemed, that you're not. But whenever you think you're above others of the same class. I mean, is there elite bride above regular bride? Or is there low bride, middle bride, and upper bride? Or is there just bride? Now watch how powerful that thought can be. If a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he, not the devil, not demons, not fallen angels, he deceiveth himself. Now it's amazing the word that Paul uses here for deceiveth. It is deceive one's minds. The idea of subjecting fanciful dreams. It's something that does not exist, but the man, when he subjects himself and he believes, he projects himself into this non-existent world and he moves into that, how? The power of thought. What if negative thoughts and wrong thoughts can do that? What can good thoughts do? Oh, glory. Now let's watch this in law in Chicago in 1955. I know you're familiar with it, but let's read it again today. Now it's a strange thing that is so much thought of. People say, well, I'm weak. My faith is not very much. I'm not a very good Christian. That's just what the devil wants you to say. You're talking his language right then. Oh, I thought the devil cussed. The devil don't cuss. He ain't that low down. He'll get you to say all them filthy words, but he won't say it. Some of the devil's favorite words are scriptures. That's first on his priority. Second's quotes. At least he's got enough sense to know which one fits where. Glory! Oh, he don't say all these foul-mouthed bad words. He uses God's words because he wants to be like God. God don't cuss. So when people say, I'm not a very good Christian, I'm weak, I'm this, that, that, that's what the devil wants you to say. Listen to this. You mustn't never say that. How many of us say it? Rest you liars, I'm gonna cast that devil out of you right now. Why? What difference does it make? If I say I'm not a good Christian, when in reality I'm living a life by the Word. What difference does it make if I say, well, I've never done nothing for God, I'll never accumulate, I'm this and that, I ain't no good, God probably don't even love me. When my own life says the exact opposite. Notice this, you mustn't never say that. Amen. Don't never. Let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. Now, if a man through the power of thought can project his image into a world that is non-existent, only in his mind, that he's above other folks at Happy Valley, or superior to folks in the message. He has a special eliteness about him. More gifted, more talented, whatever more. And a man through the power of thought is able to project himself into that realm, and he will actually live in that world. He will have that aura about him. He'll have that mannerism about him because he actually believes this about himself. If he can do that, what about the mouth of a Christian, a born-again Christian, who has power in their words? I love the way he says this. Don't ever let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. Now he's going to tell you how to make a positive testimony. I'm saved. I have God in my heart. I believe him with all of my heart. Do you believe in divine healing with all of my heart? Oh my. Let your testimony always and your thoughts, everything. Now listen. Never permit a negative thought to come in your mind if you can help it. Now there's times you can help it and times that you can't. But even if you can't help it and you don't catch him on round one, catch him on round two. Now notice, never permit a negative thought to come in your mind if you can help it. When it starts it, don't entertain it. Now this is where we get in trouble a lot of times. Satan has access to our mind and he put all these things in there because of the power of suggestion, through the power of thought. And then we take it in and we entertain that thought. Y'all know what entertainment is, don't you? So you're going to have some folks over at your house this evening and say, well, we're going to have a few folks in fellowship. Sister will fix some little, you know, little something other to eat and some drinks and whatever more. You come in, you all sit down, you go to talk and eat a little bit, you know, share things together. You're entertaining them. Right. Satan brings in bad thoughts, our evil thoughts. You're not a Christian, not this, that, and the other. Go ahead and take a chair. Have fellowship with me. You ain't no good. I know it. Did you ever notice you got a J in your name? That could be Judas. But if you're fellowshipping with Jesus, he'll say, no, it ain't Judas, it's J for Jesus. You got a D in your name, that could be devil. But if you're fellowshipping with Jesus, he said, no, it don't stand for devil, it stands for deity. But you'll entertain and entertain and entertain. And by the time that thought gets done, said, I enjoyed our fellowship. See you next time. That thought gets his coat on, walks up, goes outside, and you're about ready to get your gun and blow your brains out. Why? You entertain that deceiving, down, oh my, that spirit, and it got all over you. And what did it do? It projected you into a non-existent world. Now you are a Christian, a child of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, that loves the Lord with all of your heart. But you are living in a non-existent world of your thoughts that now you're separated from God. Now you're not going to heaven, you're not bright, you don't love the Lord at all. And God says, that's a lie. That's not where you're living, Wes. That's not where you're living. Look at my grace. Look at my grace on your life. That should tell you where you are. And if you're not careful, you'll talk yourself right out of fellowship with God. Oh my, notice this. Never permit a negative thought to come into your mind if you can help it. When it starts, don't entertain it. Well, you say, I can't help the thoughts from coming. Well, I love these theological terms that Brother Branham uses when most of us theologians can so relate to it. It'll be like the farmer. They said he couldn't stop the birds from flying over his place, but he sure stopped them from roosting. Now he said, that's a good thing, you see. You can't help the thoughts when they come. But don't entertain them. Just pass it on. Glory to God. So when Dad's house comes, say, hey, I heard you having a few folks over, and I slam the door in his face. You're not invited. You go back out there in your car and go straight back to hell and tell the devil, I ain't signing for no rattlesnakes today. I thought you was having a little fellowship. We are. With whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of a good report. Whatsoever things of virtue and praise. That's what we're fellowshipping around. All glory to God. Praise the Lord. Oh my. No, sir. Notice this. Jesus Christ is my Savior. All things are mine by God. I'm going to keep them, and I'm going to testify of them. God can only bless you as you confess He's done it for you. So if He confesses in heaven you're saved, you're confessing on earth you're lost. You stop the confession right there. He confesses, I loved you before the world began, and you say, I'm not sure. That stops the confession right there. He says, by my stripes you're healed. You say, I don't know. That stops the confession right there. Lord Jesus, help us. Notice, God can only bless you as you confess that He's done it for you, see. He's the high priest of our confession. Is that right, Hebrews 3? He said that He's the high priest of our confession. He can only do for us as we accept it and believe it and confess it. I love this from Brian Bartimaeus. When you begin thinking about divine healing and you get to thinking about Christ, keep Him on your mind. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue, the Bible says, think on these things. If any thought comes by, well, maybe it couldn't be so. Get it off of your mind right quick. Think on things that's positive. Never let a negative thought pass through. Don't let it stop anyhow. If it starts to keep your thoughts positive, colon, Jesus. Don't think sitting there in a wheelchair that you're hopeless and helpless. You're not. Don't let that negative thought ever pass through. Don't let it anchor. You can't help it from going through your mind. That's right. But you don't have to let it stop. The old farmer story again. Like the old farmer said, I can't keep the birds from flying over my place. But he had a double barrel shotgun. There's certain times a rifle is more fitting. There's certain times a single barrel is more fitting, or an over and under. But in this case, you want a double barrel. Woo! Here it is. It's the 66 side by side. 66 books full of divine promises for the children of God. Amen. Amen. Oh, glory. He said, don't let them loose. My, my. Let them pass right on through. Here's the shotgun to use. Both New and Old Testament. It's a double barrel. So when the devil comes through, you said, at your own peril, big boy. Cause I'm loaded and I'm ready. I've got 66 barrels. My goodness, what a shotgun. You know why the devil ain't scared of most of us? We use pea shooters. And the devil's over holding his son. Oh, that's the one thing I love about the Message people. They're dumb in a coal bucket. Man, they're so convinced, they're so relevant, you know, reveling all, they know so much about God and fight with pea shooters. You imagine how the devil feels when a saint of God goes over to his gun safe. Satan says, oh no. Run! Run for your life! I dealt with this guy. He knows how to use this thing. Oh, glory to God. Notice this. Here's the shotgun to use. Both New and Old Testament, a double barrel. A very good one too. I'll tell you, it keeps them all away. So you know what? Let's me know, friends. You and I aren't using our shotgun. We let these thoughts dominate our minds. Pull us into a non-existent world through the power of thought. And we've got everything we need to blow them to smithereens. We'll let annihilate them, stop them from coming back. They'll be right back after you get done blowing it out. But don't worry, you got plenty of ammunition. Notice this one, Shreveport, he said, you know, when you think about God, when you keep your mind, you sit in church, and you think about everything else but God. How you going to do your washing? What you going to do at the office tomorrow? How you going to do this, that, or the other? Keep your mind off of that. And think on God. You don't have to raise your hands. We're all guilty. I wonder how many of you have thought about washing, sisters, baking, fixing a tractor, brothers, going out to here and there after church. I've been guilty. Not working on a tractor, but working on something else, especially if it's a preacher that's boring you to death or putting you to sleep. Or it's so long-winded, I'm wore out. I got to think about fixing something to stay awake. Just being honest. Just being honest. How many times does our minds roam here and there? And that's not something the Holy Ghost will do. That's something we have to discipline ourselves and get out that shotgun. Nobody's even knowing it's going on. But you're going, oh God, he's committing suicide. I ain't committing suicide. I'm blowing them birds out of my brain. I'm blowing them old thoughts out of my head so I can receive the word. But if we sat there and we think about this, I wonder how many of you have really settled a lot of problems when you're sitting in church. Some of your brothers probably fixed several lawnmowers, chainsaws, all kinds of things while you're sitting here in church. You know why? Why Satan knows. Here's the battlefield, the power of thought. Or can you imagine when God takes his word and makes it so real and Satan says, oh no, if they see that, they'll be transformed. They'll be powerhouses. So he don't say a word. Let you go ahead and come to church. You come in, singing, everything goes. You sit down, preacher starts. A thought comes through. You're just sitting there looking at me and say, wonder what he's going to preach today. I announce my thought. Wow. Interesting. My goodness. All of a sudden, here it comes. You didn't turn off your curling iron. Well, you begin to think, the coffee pot. And you slip your husband a note trying to hide it so the deacons won't see you. Did you turn off the coffee pot? And he turn around and looks at you with that deer in the headlight look. Now we're all laughing. Do you understand how serious this is though? Do you understand what's going on? This is warfare. And you'll be a good disciplined Christian if you can sit there the rest of that service and get something out of it without thinking your house is burning down. Because you'll say, oh my goodness, the curling iron, the coffee pot, did you feed the dogs, did you let the cat out? I mean, all these things, and you'll say, why does that have to happen? And you get home, and guess what you find out? That stinking curling iron was unplugged. And all that worry, and all that fretting over the coffee pot. But why? The power of thought captured you through the entire service. And whenever I do this, poof, you're gone out that door. So we ain't going to eat. I'm going to check my hair rollers. Because the power of thought subjected you and brought you into a world that was non-existent. And you can imagine your house burnt to ashes when you get home. And there it's standing. And then you get mad on a hornet. You think, you rotten devils. Don't you know if we would calm ourselves, the Spirit of God could say, don't worry. You unplugged it. If he can put a pocket knife in a prophet's pocket, he can tell you the curling iron's unplugged. But we have more confidence in the negative part than we do the positive. Because we're so elevated by the power of thought. And there we get caught in a non-existent world. It's not even real, but it's real to you. Wow. The power of thought. Oh my. Now let's look, if you would, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We looked at this last night, but today I'd like to give you meanings of all these words. Hopefully I won't bore you and put you to sleep. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, loving the truth, speaking the truth, truthful. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, august, venerable, reverend, to be venerated for character, honorable of persons and of deeds. Now this is what I'm supposed to think on and you're supposed to think on instead of garbage, gossip, junk, trash. I know some of you sitting around here and you're thinking this is totally impossible. It's not impossible, or God would have never had it written in his word. We can attain to it, but the question is, do we want to or not? Well, but it'll be a battle. Sure, it'll be a battle, but it'll be worth the victory. And can you imagine every day of our life, we're constantly under an onslaught. There's not one given day, friend, in my life that I'm not under an onslaught of people dying with diabetes or dying with cancer or dying with all. Look, my burden is more than just here at the church. I get emails and things from folks around the world daily, daily. And if I did not find a place somehow, a Shabbat, a world to move into by the power of thought, I would be so overwhelmed, I wouldn't know what to do. Because of so much sickness and trouble. Now, if you're a preacher and you don't care for people, it ain't going to bother you no way. But if you love God's people and you care for them, and you see this and that and the other, and heartaches and divorce and little babies and so on and so on and so on every day of your life, there has to be a way, Brother Jim, that this word still works in Laodicea. Do we believe this word works today? Or was it just good for Paul? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, righteous, righteous judgment, upright, virtuous, innocent, faultless, guilt. Notice, guiltless. But yet, if we're not careful, day to day our activities will be filled with, have you heard this? Have you heard that? So-and-so's doing this and so-and-so's doing that. Have you read the latest on Facebook? I'm more concerned about name book. Oh, Brother Donnie, is that a new website? No, it's actually been around for a long time. I'm trying to find my name in this book. People fill their minds with all this stuff, all this nonsense. When the Bible tells us to think on the things that are pure and holy and righteous. Free from fault. But you understand, and you know people as well as I do, some folks cannot live in a stream of purity because they're not pure themselves. They're like a maggot. You ever seen a maggot on a fresh cut steak? I'm going to try my best not to ruin your dinner. But a maggot does not like prime sirloin, prime rib, big old piece of fresh salmon or fresh tilapia. A maggot likes it when it's rotten. And he wiggles in and out when all the juices is running out. When it smells so bad, you can't even hardly get near it. But that maggot says, this is home. I love this. Friends, I don't want to be rude, but I'm afraid we've got a lot of maggot Christians. They wiggle in and out of one mess and another and over a dead clump of meat over here and something stinking and rotten over there. They cannot live in a pure stream. To live in this scripture, that's not even their nature in the first place. To think holy, to think righteous, why it's not in them. I don't think there's a child of God sitting here today that would not desire this more than anything in your life. To live every day of your life with all that you deal with. But at the end of the day, it's consummated by these things flowing through you. Oh, notice, Paul, when he says this about just, let me read this other part of the meaning of this word. Righteous, righteous, judgment, upright, virtuous, innocent, faultless, guiltless, used of him whose way of thinking, feeling, and acting is wholly conformed to the will of God. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. You ever heard of any pure gossip? What about pure negativity? Where people are not really gossiping, they just have nothing positive to say. Well, Lord, maybe I missed you here. I thought this is what you want me to preach today. They're all looking at me like I should have preached something else. Look at this. Whatsoever things are pure, chaste, clear, free of maggot juice. I love this next one. Exciting reverence. Wow. What a word. Exciting reverence. So you're not... But you're reverent. But you're so excited about it. You're about to tear the bench down, but you're afraid you'll miss something. So it's excited reverence. Oh. Lord have mercy, Jesus. What kind of Christians would we be on this hill? If every one of you made up your mind after this day, by God's grace, I'm going to attain to that verse of scripture in the Bible. Glory to God. Exciting reverence. Venerable. Sacred. Pure from carnality. Modest. Immaculate. Whoa. Ain't that what happened to Jesus? The Immaculate Conception. Whew. Immaculate. Clean. So could you be pure and be mad at the same time? Could you be spouting off at the mouth? Man, I mean, got a temper mean enough to fight a bus so and so. I'm so pure. Whew. Y'all don't know it, but I'm preaching rapture and faith this morning. Oh my. There's still a few more. Should I go on or should I dismiss? Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, which is acceptable and pleasing. Wow. Whatsoever things are of a good report, which is saying well, uttering words of good omen, speaking auspiciously. Instead of every time you come around, you're known by your words. You're always negative. You never have nothing good to say about God or nobody else. That's not a good report, Christian. If there be any virtue, praise, a virtuous course of... Notice how many of these meanings are bringing in thought and thinking. A virtuous course of thought. So if you and I think like this, and we would live under the influence of the power of these thoughts, you know what's going to happen? This is going to pour out of you onto other people. Oh, glory. Is there anybody here who wants this besides me? Good. Praise! A virtuous course of thought, feeling, and action, moral goodness, any particular moral excellence as modesty, purity. So if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Oh. Which is approbation. Commendation. To praise one. And you know what? We're so easy to criticize. We're so easy to nitpick. You husbands, pick on your wives. Wives, pick on your husbands. Parents, pick on your kids. Tell them all the time of all they do that's wrong. Do you ever praise them, children? What about you husbands? Do you praise your wife? You wives, do you praise your husband? Well, I don't see nothing in him to praise him for. Is he beaching? Has he got a girlfriend other than you? Does he work all week, go out and spend the money on the weekend on whiskey? You can't find nothing to praise him about? See me after church. I'll give you a few pages. Your brothers ain't got nothing to praise your wife about? You got a daughter of God that wants to live for the Lord? Filled with the Holy Ghost? Raise your children? And you have nothing to praise her about? But you see, the power of thought. We become negative on one aspect of our lives. And our life is so multi-channel. That negativity will grow from the one channel and flood over into the other channel. And then the other channel. Then before long, the whole streams of your life is plagued with negativity, sarcasm, bad attitude. Nothing's right anymore. Nothing's going wrong. You ain't got praise for nothing or nobody. You're still trying to make up your mind whether you even like God or not. Preach, Brother Donnie, I'm with you. But why is it it's so easy for us to look and pick on the negative parts? Why? It's the power of thought. Satan is slowly but gradually pulling you into this world that is non-existent. But to you, it's so real. And the way you're looking at it, you're exactly right. And everybody that differs with you is exactly wrong. Because to you, this is a real world. It's a real world. It's a fantasy. It's a world of dreams. It's a world that is non-existent, but it's very real to you. That's why it can pour out of your being sarcasm and fault-finding. This is never right. That's never right. You're looking for the perfect church. Well, I'll tell you, there is not one. Some of you are looking for a perfect pastor. If you let me know, if you find one, let me know where he is. We'll all move there. Of course, I'd hate to do it to him because if we all went, we'd ruin it. I was thinking about it one day this week. If you'd have lived in the first church age and you was looking for the perfect church in the first church age, which one would you have chose? The church at Ephesus? When they were deep in predestination but didn't know how to love their wives. Would you chose the church at Corinth? That was real spiritual so-called, but didn't know how to operate gifts. Would you chose the church at Philippi? Read the New Testament church and see what kind of problems they had, and you'll find out they're much like our churches today. But it really depends upon the power of the world of thought that you live in. You see, if that's your power of thought that you've created this thing around you, I'm looking for the perfect church. So you go here and you go there and you go there and you go there. And then you never find it. You never find it. But if you create a world by thought to know it's not this church itself that's perfect, but this is only part of a mystical move of what God's doing. How many's here? I have no idea. You don't either. So don't suppose to judge it. Only God knows that. But you live in the power of thought. I'm not going to find a perfect church. I'm going to hear the word. I'm going to worship. I'm going to receive from God. Amen. I'm going to be frank and honest with you. I don't expect y'all back here at this church to be perfect. I don't expect y'all back to do what I'm telling them. I don't expect y'all back to live up to what I preach. The bride will. Who that is, I don't have no idea. But a long time ago, I moved my expectation from a perfect people to a perfect God. That way, I'm never disappointed. But what if we would think on lovely things, pure things, things of good report, things of virtue, things of praise. Now Paul consummates it all now. Brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think. Think on these things. Now look, it's more than letting them pass through your mind. We looked at this last night, but let's look at it again for the sake of those who wasn't here. To reckon, count, compute. Metaphorically, to pass to one's account. To impute. A thing is reckoned as or to be something to consider, to take into account. So as you think on those things that are pure and lovely and honest and of good report, you're adding this to your account. In heaven, you don't need in heaven. Heaven consists of this. Now is where I need to draw from it. So what if I think the opposite of these things? If I think hatefulness and contrariness and nobody's right but me, I'm also adding those to my account. And I guarantee you, I will draw from my account. You're going to live from your spiritual checking account. Whatever you put in it, if it's bitterness and envy and strife and hatred, you'll write check after check after check after check from that account. But if you think on whatsoever things are good and faithful, oh, my virtue and praise, you can write check after check after check after check. Look, friends, I've come to realize what a lot of folks never have too many kind words to say. They don't have many saved up. Why is it so much easier to criticize than it is to praise? That's their largest account. Their largest account is criticism. They have so little bit of praise for anybody. They got it in a special savings account. And it's in a special safe, locked up and locked up and locked up and locked up. And the only one they use it on mostly is them. Boy, they write them checks. You sorry, low down, good for nothing, aggravating check after check after check after check. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I don't want your checks. Now, it's a challenge because I get them negative checks all the time. You shouldn't have said that. You should preach this way. You idiot. Let me say something, friend. You'd not believe some of the emails and things I've got over the years being in the message. People in this message will treat you worse than any Pentecostal I ever dealt with. I've been treated way worse by these folks than I have Pentecostal folks. Oh yeah, that's part of it. That's part of it. There's more truth here. I expect that. And I can subject myself and come underneath them bad checks and start opening me up another account. Donnie Reagan the down. Donnie Reagan the defeated. Donnie Reagan the no good. Donnie Reagan the lousy. Larry Elliott the sorry. Dal Orndorff, the scum of the ass. Or you can return to sender. Insufficient funds. We're going to charge you $25 for writing us that cold check. And instead, you can open you up another account and another account and another account. Let me see what I can title this one. I'm going to title this account, Donnie Reagan the Blessed. Oh, I like that. Donnie Reagan the Happy. I like that one too. Donnie Reagan the Revelated. Yes, sir. Donnie Reagan the Son of God. Donnie Reagan the Healed. Donnie Reagan the Delivered. Donnie Reagan the Redeemed. Donnie Reagan the Bride. Praise the Lord. By the power of God. And it won't be God's fault. And it won't be yours. It'll be mine. This world that I live in will be my world, which I create according to how much I believe this word. And the more I submit, the more my world can be covered with His blessings. And the more I retain to myself and refuse to give up, the more I'll be bound. I'll be a Christian. I'll be saved. But my joy will be so limited. My praise will be so little. The purity that I see. Don't you understand why people have such a hard time seeing purity? They don't have it in themselves. To the pure, all things are pure. The reason is that's because they are so filled with purity themselves. They're looking from within. How can a merciful person be unmerciful? They can't. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. How can a happy person constantly put off sadness? They can't. Let's stand. Now, Lord willing, we'll look at this next weekend, but the contrast of this is Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Very next scripture there, Brother Daniel. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And the word there, mind, is aspire to. Something what drives you. A force. A desire. Which makes you want to achieve a certain goal. So either we will mind the flesh, or we will mind the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the Spirit, but they that are, the flesh rather, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Oh my. I realize I put a lot out to you today. But may God help us. That we can have a goal set before us. Say, God, I want to become a, you're talking about a miracle, Brother Jim. You're talking about a miracle that we're exposed to so much down stuff in this day. So much trouble, so much sickness. You know, you realize that the media has a lot of it. You pick up your newspaper, 5,000 died here, 500 died here, 600 killed in a typhoon in the Philippines, and now it's turning right back around and going right back through it again. We read those things and never shed a tear. Well, years ago, it'd take how many years for that news to even get around that the Philippines had had a typhoon to come to the United States? Come by boat, come across the Pacific. It might be years before that news would ever get here. But to you and I, as soon as something happens, we get it on our smartphone. And by that, it's desensitizing us. All the trauma, all the heartache, all the sorrow, all the rape, all the things that's going on, and it's desensitizing us as humans. And yet, in that world, God tells us, think on things that are good.
That's right. Amen.
Latest breaking news. Fox News. 7.2 earthquake hits Tokyo. I ain't interested in that. And in that type of a world. Your aunt got cancer this. Found out she had cancer. Your uncle had diabetes. Your daughter's fixing to get a divorce. This is happening and that's happening. You say, oh God. Oh God. I can't take no more. Don't you understand what's going on? Someone is wanting to control.
Yes.
Your mind. He gave up on your soul a long time ago. If you're sealed. But He still wants your mind. For whoever controls your mind controls you. Now you can be filled with the Holy Ghost and come here to this church and be so sad. Never have one smile on your face. Never have nothing to live for. No joy permeates out of you. You're telling me you're under control of the Holy Ghost? There ain't no way. There's another force. And it's so powerful on your emotions. You can't even worship. You can't even praise. You understand, friends, where many folks are. They're in this dead feeling of emotionalism toward God, toward humanity. Many people can't cry no more. They can't laugh no more. They can't rejoice no more. It's like we're in a world of non-feeling. So people just sit and look at you. Oh, God, help me to never get like that. I'm going to cry when it's time to cry. I'm going to laugh when it's time to laugh. I'm going to rejoice when it's time to rejoice. But I won't get it from out here because that's the way they are. They're past feeling. But I want to draw from my accounts. Well, there's still tears. There's still tears in my account. There's still joy in my account. There's forgiveness in my account and mercy in my account. May God help me. that I, by the word of God, can create a world. And it's a non-existent. It's not non-existent. It is a real existent place. A land of promises. Land of fulfillment. Land of purity. In the midst of darkness and hell. Yet I can live and you can live. As if though we were in a cocoon. And within our souls, heartache on every hand. I sent Brother Jeff a text the other day and told him, Brother Jeff, we certainly rejoice that our Brother Lonnie has finished his journey in life. But we certainly, certainly feel for you and your family and your church. It's amazing, isn't it? For a child of God, when they go beyond the other world, into that other world, you have two extreme emotional feelings. You are so happy for them, but you're so sad for the ones they leave behind. And sad for yourself that it wasn't you. How in the world can we be such extreme? That shows you what kind of person you are. You are such an extreme person who contacts both worlds. Oh God. May God help us. You love Him with all your hearts. You think this is attainable? Have I preached something to you today that is Walt Disney? Is it another princess story? Is it a fairyland of fantasy somewhere? Is it attainable? Tell me, church. Do you believe with all of your heart this is attainable from the Word of God? Even now in this day. Glory to God. Did you hear that, Father? They believe it. Glory. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let's pray together if you would. Heavenly Father, I know, Lord, I've given them a lot to think about, and me as well. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd help us. Father God, I want to become this, Lord. As Harry's song opened this for us, I want to be, Lord, what I'm hearing preached, because this preaching is to me as well. Lord Jesus, please help me. Help me, God. I know it'll be a real challenge for me, because I'm exposed to so much difficulty and sorrow, church troubles, and Lord, having to counsel pastors from all over the world. And, oh God, sometimes I just get so weary of it all. And I wish so many times you'd have left me down there in Kentucky. Lord, pastoring that little church, and I'd never had to come here. Never had to have an internet and a website and all that stuff where people would hear about us. And, oh, how many times I wish I could have just been left alone. But yet, Lord, I believe this was your plan. So forgive me for thinking that. Lord, you see our desires. No doubt many of them think they wish they could just go back and live in the wilderness. No wonder Brother Bram said if we had that faith, have access to it, we'd create our own private world and go live a private life on it. It was a man of great experience speaking what he would do himself. Help us, Lord. I mean, Carol was talking about it last night, and then this morning when I couldn't sleep, Lord, I thought about it in my mind. Am I crazy? Am I nuts? As I laid there and turned and tossed last night, I thought, Donnie, you're going crazy. Do you really think people can live this thing? But God, it's not what I said. It's not my word. It's yours. I pray, Lord, you'd help each of us. Father, I have my hand on this prayer cloth for Brother Frank. Lord, you see these needs in his body. I pray in the name of Jesus, may your healing virtue go to our brother, Lord. Maybe others here in the building today, Lord, they're sick. They're suffering. May the presence of God help them. I'm sure all of us can say today, Lord, we need help in our minds through the power of thought. Grant it, Lord Jesus. If a man who is nothing can receive a thought from Satan and convince him that he's something, he can transcend a world of fact and reality and begin to believe he is something when in reality he's nothing. That thought will change his attitude, his behavior toward others. That thought will change the way he treats other people. And he's living in a world that is non-existent. And he has deceived himself. If that, through the power of a negative thought, can do that, what about a child of God taking the word and shooting down all these other thoughts with that double-barrel shotgun? Lord Jesus, what could it do for us? The possibilities that lay before us. When astronauts can transcend the gravitational pull of the earth. When Brother Branham was here, they went out and flew around the earth and made so many passes and come back. But now they've excelled beyond that. Now they go out and live on the space station. And they're there for months and over a year. And there they live in that realm. They're still in touch with the earth. They have radio frequencies. They get their meals from there still. But for the most part, gravitational pull doesn't affect them no more. Because they're living in a spiritual space station. I'm talking about the spiritual astronaut now. Is it possible, Lord, that we as your children could still live in this world? And sure, we'll think about bacon and eggs and think about going on picnics with our families. These brothers that like to hunt, they'll still plan on hunting trips. And they like to fish or golf. Or these sisters like to get together and talk about new recipes. They'll still do that. But they're a spiritual astronaut. In their soul, they revert back at the end of the day, during the middle of the day, when they feel overwhelmed, they write checks on them accounts of purity, the accounts of honesty, of a good report. Grant it, Lord God. Help us, I pray, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How many believes it today? With all your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I've got a need in my body I want to make known to you today. I want you to pray for me. I hate to trouble you, but a few weeks ago I had something to happen in my eye. And it was an arc of light about like this right above my eye. And I would see it at certain times for a couple of days, something like that. And then the light itself disappeared. But then I got this floater, they call them, right in the middle of my eye. And there's a big one here, a small one here, and a small one there. And I went to a doctor, and the doctor looked at it, dilated my eyes, and I have what is called a posterior vitreous separation. All of you know what that is, I'm sure. Yeah, right, about like I did. The eye contains 99.4% water and liquid type of things in your eye. It has a contents that's kind of jelly-like substance, a vitreous humor, it's called, which attaches itself to the back of the eye near the retina. As you get older, I'm not sure why it happened to me, but as you get older, then your eye begins to age as the rest of your body does. The vitreous humor on the back part of your eye can begin to pull away from your eye. And when it does, it can tear the retina. It can be a partial tear, or it can actually tear the retina completely loose from the eyeball. And mine was a partial tear. That was the circle of light that I was seeing, the arc of light, and then the floaters that's remained in my eye. And the doctor was concerned that he wants to watch it because of vitreous humor. Once it pulls off, it's more weighty and more heavy than the retina, so it can actually tear the retina loose from the back of the eyeball. If it does, you only have a matter of hours to get it reattached, or you go blind. Because as the retina is tore loose from the eye, it loses oxygen, it loses blood flow, so you go blind. Don't do it all, because that ain't what I'm signing for. I'm believing God for His grace. But it is a serious type of situation. And he said, probably at your age, your 50s, he said, the left eye may do exactly the same thing. Well, that's what he thought, but I didn't sign for that either. Really nothing that they can do as far as for the floaters that's there in the eye. There is a laser procedure, but yet not really much they can do. If the retina does detach, then they can go in by surgical procedure and reattach it. But for several weeks, actually, whenever I was going hunting in Illinois and Indiana, that tormented me to death, because looking in the trees, looking in the fields and all that is constantly before my eye, constantly moving right in the center of my eye. Whenever I sit and study, it just about drives me crazy. because I'm sitting there looking at the computer. I have to move my eye to one side, up and down. Probably most of you got floaters, so you know what I'm talking about. But this one is just so huge. But I believe in the power of prayer. And I have confidence and faith in your prayers. I believe. You believe? Somebody sick? Who is it, Gracie? Lord Jesus, we pray for our little sister right now, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Father, may you move forward. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You have no authority over the people of God. We cash in on our account today in the promise of God. In Jesus' name, may the presence of God move forward right now, Father. Touch her little body, Lord. I pray you would help her now, Lord. Whatever the cause of this is in her body, may it leave her now, Lord Jesus. Grant it, dear God. We call upon your name today, Lord. And we run our check to the bank of heaven. Father God, it's written in your word. If any two on earth would agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done. Move for her now, Lord God, I pray. In Jesus' name. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. You okay, honey? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know what? I'm convinced sometimes the devil does some of the dumbest things. Come on, that devil. We just heard the anointed word. You're standing here in the presence of hundreds of sons and daughters of God that are anointed. And you raise up your silly head. Bad mistake, devil. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Hallelujah. Would you pray for me this morning? Would you just point your hand this way and also be mindful of me if you would? Lord Jesus, dear God, I come before you today, Father. You see the situation, Lord, in my eye and how it's just tormenting me, Lord, trying to study it. Lord, I just ask you today that you'd help me. Father, I know this is part of the age process and part of the curse, really. But Lord, I need my eyes. Lord, I need my eyes to read your word. I need my eyes to study, Lord God. I need my eyes. You see, I use them daily, Lord God, looking into the scriptures and looking into the message to feed you people, Lord. I wouldn't be the same, Father, without my vision. And Lord, you see how difficult it's been for me in the last few weeks. Lord, as the doctor shook his head and said there's really nothing they could do. But I thought in my heart, oh my, Dr. Jesus, don't shake his head. Hallelujah. Lord, you're my healer. You're my deliverer. I join my faith today in with your children. Lord, I want to run one of my checks to the bank of heaven. The one that says, by his stripes, I am healed. I believe you, Lord God. I believe you, Father. I commit it to you, Lord. May the outworking of the power of God move in my body. May my thoughts be positive to move in a world, Lord Jesus, that will restore it, dear God. In Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You believe it, church? Aren't you glad our God reigns today? Sing that, Harry. God bless you, saints. I love you so much. Did the sermon make sense to you? I hope it did. I hope. Hallelujah. God bless you. I'll see you, Lord willing, Wednesday night. You know what? Our God reigns. Let's sing it together as we go.
Our God reigns.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.